Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Matthew 6:7. Hi, I'm Rob West. Fortunately, Jesus didn't stop there. He goes on to give us the Lord's Prayer as the way we should bring our needs to God. But have you ever noticed how we sometimes overlook a key part of it? The part about provision? I'll dive into that today. And then we have lots of great listener questions ahead. But we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. I want to talk about the place in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:11, where Jesus instructs his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a very important verse that we tend to take for granted, but we shouldn't. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and us, that God is our provider, and we're to ask him to provide for our needs, and the most basic physical need is food. This verse serves as a powerful reminder to humble ourselves before God. How often do we truly ask him to provide the food and water we need for today and thank him for it, especially now when prices are higher than ever? When we pray these words in the Lord's Prayer, do we genuinely mean them? I think sometimes we're just reciting words because we forget that only God can provide us with the food and water we need to survive. He owns everything. We may think that our actions, earning and saving money, provide those things, but that's never the case. Even our ability to earn money comes from God. We're only reminded that God is our real provider when we sense that those things are about to be taken from us, and we begin to feel hunger and thirst. But this is about more than making money to buy food. We hunger for many other things in this world: peace, love, purpose, healthy relationships, you name it. The Lord's Prayer is an example of how we should pray for all of those things. Jesus wants us to go before our Holy Father in prayer and ask for everything we need, humbly admitting that only he can provide them. "Give us this day our daily bread" likely carried a deeper urgency 2,000 years ago when famine was a constant threat. Today, living in one of the wealthiest nations in history, this request might feel less pressing. For most of us, though not all, worrying about our next meal isn't a daily concern. In fact, for many, the challenge isn't needing more food, but perhaps less. It's still crucial to pray for God's daily provision, no matter where we live, because doing so reminds us that we are not self-sufficient. This prayer helps guard against the illusion that we can meet our needs apart from Him. In other words, it's a bulwark against prideful thinking that we, or the things of this world, provide what we need. Jesus knew that we're prone to that kind of thinking. That's why those words are in the Lord's Prayer, and that's why we should take them seriously. All of this highlights the subtle danger of materialism. It's worth reflecting on how much we may be influenced by worldly attitudes toward self-sufficiency. Perhaps we've come to believe that we can sustain our lives without relying on God, and that mindset might explain why many of us approach prayer so casually. In addition to warning about pride, Jesus is also telling us that our Father in heaven wants to give us every good and perfect gift. A few verses later in Matthew 6, he tells his disciples, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What that means is we don't really need to worry about bread or water or money. We need God. And prayer reminds us of that and of God's promise that he'll provide all of those things. An important thing to remember in today's culture of abundance is that we should seek God's help to free us from what can become self-sustaining Christian lives. We must acknowledge daily that we can't sustain ourselves. Of course, with every believer, that begins by admitting that we need Christ as our Savior. But it must extend into all areas of our lives, that we need God to sustain us with even our most basic needs. And that's how we can avoid the pride that comes from materialism. No matter how much money we make, how big the house we live in, or how fancy the car we drive, we don't really need those things. We only need God. So when we say those words, "Give us this day our daily bread," we need to really mean them and thank God for providing it. And one more thing, we can show our thankfulness through generosity. Giving breaks the power that money has over us and demonstrates our faith that God will meet our needs. There's no shortage of things to worry about: economic downturns, market fluctuations, and unexpected disasters. But don't let these concerns shake your trust in God's promises. Instead, turn to Him in prayer, asking for your daily bread as a reminder of His faithful provision. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's an epic moment in the Ten Commandments movie with Charlton Heston playing Moses. He's just been in the presence of God on the mountain, and he comes down. His face is shining with the afterglow of God's glory. But you can tell, the producers had no idea how to show that. The truth is, God's glory is something you can only experience for yourself firsthand. Consider Psalms 34, 4 and 5. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. But you don't have to climb a mountain to be in God's presence. In fact, Jesus invites you to spend time with Him daily. Anchor Devotional can help you do that. Get it in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we accept our role as stewards or managers of the King of Kings resources, wanting to be and desiring to be found faithful as we hold God's money loosely and live appropriately. Hey, before we take phone calls, let me address the topic of how much is enough briefly. You know, the great Christian apologist and author G.K. Chesterton once wrote, there are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less. You know, a secular worldview tells us that more is always better, so there's no end to accumulation. The Christian worldview, on the other hand, turns that idea upside down. You see, according to Chesterton, enough isn't about getting more. Perhaps it's about wanting less. So how do we apply that to money matters? How much is enough, really? Well, first, we need to understand the difference between needs and wants. Believers in Christ serve a God who promises to supply our needs. In Matthew 6, he says, and he reminds his listeners not to be anxious about these things. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more are you not more valuable than they?" You see, this means when we put Jesus first, we will always have have enough of what we need to live, and we can trust God to know what that is. Where people get confused, perhaps, is in the matter of wants and desires, the things that are not essential for survival. How much is enough of those? Well, that's really a matter of priorities. You see, if we seek first the kingdom, he either exists and is sovereign, or he doesn't exist and you're on your own. Once you commit to following Christ, which we all should do, and that free gift is there for us to accept, well, we have to admit that God is sovereign, and that changes everything. You see, placing the Lord first means acknowledging his ownership of everything. And as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your motivation to accumulate gradually changes. And by the grace of God, it moves from a self-centered approach to a God-centered approach. You see, when Jesus is the Lord of your life, your idea of enough begins to change too, because you're trusting God to meet your needs and your desires start to line up with what God wants. You begin to desire less of worldly things. And all of this is a part of the miraculous heart change that happens when God gets a hold of you. So while the worldly person is asking, how can I get more? The Christian begins asking, how can I serve more with what God has provided? You see, God gives us the ability to make money through skilled work and business ownership and investing and other righteous means. These are gifts from the Lord, and they're to be used for kingdom work, from taking care of our families, churches, employees, and communities, to serving those in need around the world. So no matter how much you have, the principles are the same. Everything belongs to the Lord. God has placed where you are for his sovereign reasons, because he loves you and has important kingdom work for you to do. So perhaps you can think about that and realize that following Christ is the way to peace, joy, and the abundant life. So when we ask how much is enough, we may actually be asking the wrong question. For believers, Christ followers, the real question is, who is enough? I hope that's an encouragement to you today. We're going to begin in Harrisburg, PA today. Alan, go ahead.
Hi. I have a 401k. I have like $128,000 in. And I'd like to invest $60,000 of it, a rollover, into an annuity.
Yeah.
What do you think of that choice?
What kind of annuity are you looking at here?
It's like an insurance annuity.
Okay, so there are two big categories of annuities. One is a fixed annuity where you get a guaranteed fixed rate of return. And then there's what's called a variable annuity, where you put the money into the annuity and then that it gets invested in what are called subaccounts, basically mutual funds. And then you get a floor on the downside and a portion of the upside. Does one or the other sound like what you're looking for or considering?
Well, I remember him saying that you cannot lose anything. All you can do is gain.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So this is what's called a variable annuity, which is basically a way to invest in a tax-deferred environment where they're going to set a floor on it. So to your point, you cannot lose money, and it will get invested in sub-accounts that might mirror, let's say, an index. So, for example, it could mirror the S&P 500. But as you also correctly pointed out, the way these work is you get a portion of that upside, and that's how they give you the downside protection. Because keep in mind, when we look at the average annual returns of the stock market, pick an index, let's stay with the S&P 500. If we were to go back over the last 75 or 100 years, and let's say, I don't remember what it is at the moment, let's say the average annual return over that period was north of 9%. Well, the way that we get those average 9% yearly annual returns over a long period of time is, in large part due to those big up years, kind of like the year we've had this year, which were outliers. We saw dramatic increases in the stock market. When you add those to the few down years and then those years that were kind of flat and you put it all together, those really big up years are what get us up into those higher average annual returns. Well, one of the challenges with a variable annuity is you don't get that.
because you're going to give that up to the insurance company. They're going to keep that. And that's the way that they provide the downside protection. Now, you do get that peace of mind to know that you're not going to lose any money. You're just not going to get the full upside. And when we're in a big year like this year, you're giving up a lot. The other thing you're going to give up with an annuity is you're going to give up access to your money. So in that 401k, although you'd have to pay some tax on it if you pull it out, you do have full access to the money without penalty if you're over 59 and a half. The same would be true with an IRA. So if you needed the money, something unexpected, whatever it might be, you can get it. With an annuity, especially in those early years, you're going to be limited in what you can access. And then the third issue would just be the fees and expenses. But I'm not one who says don't ever consider an annuity. If you're looking for peace of mind, if you're looking for downside protection, if you're taking a portion of your total investable assets for retirement and you're saying, I want to carve away a portion of it in an insurance product, an annuity, where there's a floor on it, that gives me some peace of mind. And maybe down the road, I can convert that to an income stream when added to my Social Security meets my minimum monthly amount that I need to cover my lifestyle spending and my obligations. And I have other assets still in my 401k or IRA or whatever it might be that I could get access to and even invest and perhaps seek a higher average annual return, then this annuity may be a very appropriate part of your full financial plan. But I did want to throw those things out, which would be the only perhaps negative considerations as to why you might not want to do this. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, well, I talked to the person, and he said if I invest, well, I don't know if it's 50 or 60. I told him I'm going to invest $60,000. He said, well, you invest $60,000, you get $8,600-some right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's pretty typical. And what he's talking about is a lot of these annuities have a feature called a bonus, where you get a bonus right up front. So yeah, again, I would look at this in light of your overall financial plan, your total financial life, and just make sure this fits. Understand what you're giving up, which is access to the full amount of the money. But I think at the end of the day, as long as you count the costs, you understand the fine print, know exactly what you're buying, I don't have a problem with it, but I just at least wanted to share with you some of the reasons why they're not my first choice. Appreciate your call today. Back with more questions after this. Stick around.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. We exist to help our supporters to leave a lasting legacy for years to come. We would love to speak with you regarding your situation to help put in place a lifetime income while also giving to the ministry of AFA and AFR. You can reach out to us by phone or email at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
You know, if we're going to operate from a biblical worldview as it relates to money management, we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. That's a game changer in terms of how we manage money, because it puts God in his rightful place where he's always been, and that is the king of everything, the owner of everything. Remember, Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That means it all belongs to him, which also means that we have a high calling as money managers of God's resources, the King of Kings resources. That's a incredibly high calling. So how do we approach that? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master. That's how any steward manages his or her master's resources. And we do that by going to Scripture, to God's Word, to say, what are the principles, the passages, the big ideas and themes that we should hold God's money loosely, that we should give generously, that we need to live with contentment, that we can't let money become an end, but it's a means to an end, a tool to accomplish God's purposes, and that having more than we need can be a distraction if we allow it to. You remember in the parable of the sower, that which robbed in the story the 30, 60, 100-fold return from the fruit of the word was the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things and the cares of this world. If we get too focused on the here and now, the temporal, we will miss the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and stay focused on the eternal, the life that is to come, and our ability to send God's resources on ahead through our giving. That's the treasure principle. So we've got to guard our hearts, but we also live in the here and now. And so we want to apply God's wisdom to our daily decisions and choices. We want to help you do that on this program. Let's head right back to the phones to Chicago area. Tracy, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for being a blessing to me and
Thank
my family.
You.
I've listened to you for many
that.
Years.
Awesome.
I appreciate you. Just a question about investing. My husband and I, we have about 200 to 250, 250,000 liquid funds that okay. we're really trying to figure out what's best to do it. We want to use it to plan for retirement. He retires in 3 years.
Okay.
We've been told to place it in, like, by, you know, a couple people put it in the S&P 500, like a 60-40 or 70 stocks, 30 bonds. But we also, heard you teach on brokerage accounts and things of this nature. Just wanted your advice, because we really would like to manage it ourselves, but not sure that we're if the brokerage account would be something we could easily utilize. And if not, what is a good percentage if we were to have someone to manage that amount?
Yeah, very good. Well, those are great questions, and I'm delighted to hear that you listen to the program regularly and that you're thinking about all of these things. Couple of questions. This 200,000 that you said is liquid. If you've listened at any length of time, you've heard me talk about having an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses. Would this be in addition to that, Tracy?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
We have our
Excellent.
Emergency fund separate.
Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. And is this in savings right now?
Right now, yes, it's in a actually just ended. We had a high yield savings. We okay. had about 5%, but it just okay. that offer ended this
okay.
month. Well, the end of December. Yes.
Okay, yeah, excellent. And then, do you have other retirement assets? Perhaps a a 401k at work or an IRA, something like that.
Yes, my husband has a deferred comp account of about 50,000 in there.
Okay. And does he have access to make additional contributions in his retirement plan?
Oh, yes. He contributes 15% every each paycheck.
Okay. All right. Very good.
To that one. Yeah.
And are you working as well or no?
I am not, unfortunately.
Okay.
No. I was, but not able to right now.
Okay. You know, I'd love to get as much of this $200,000 into a tax-deferred environment as possible. Has he reached the maximum on the amount he can contribute each year? Or if you all increased further what he was putting into his deferred comp, even to the point where it wouldn't leave you enough to cover your bills because it would lower his check, could you then start pulling to supplement equal to the amount of the drop in the check from the $200,000, thereby kind of shifting it from a taxable environment to a tax deferred? Do you understand what I'm saying?
If you're saying like, would we be able to live on what the income is we have outside of the 200 or want to pull from the 200 every month?
Yeah, good question. Let me clarify. So if he's not currently maxing out the amount he can put in his deferred comp, what I'm wondering is, what if we were to have his employer increase the amount he was putting in every paycheck, even if that meant you had to pull a little bit for the 200,000 in order to supplement that lower monthly check, because now he's putting more into the deferred comp. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It does. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for that. He can increase. To my knowledge, there's no limit, to place in it. But we also, we're wondering, have been wondering for some years about a Roth. Like, is it better to just start investing in that, or do we just maximize the deferred comp?
Yeah. No, I like the Roth a lot. And so I would, you can have one as a spouse and he can have one. So if you're over 50, you all could put 8,000 a piece in there. There is a maximum amount, for a deferred comp per year. And so for 2025, that's going to be 23,500. And then, if you are over age 50, there's a catch up where you can put an additional 7,500. So I believe you all could put as much as 31,000. I might go ahead and bump that up just to be able to get as much into that tax deferred environment as possible. So you're not having to pay capital gains on the investments on the 200,000. We're shifting that into two new Roth IRAs and to additional deferred comp. And then maybe you invest what is left over. Now, let's do this. I've got to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about your idea of the S&P 500 versus hiring an investment advisor to manage this for you. You could certainly do either one. I do have some concerns, though, about you putting it all in the S&P 500 index. I'll share those just around the corner. Stay right there. Back with much more after this. Stay with us.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. But let us be about our Father's business, our nation's greatest and most enduring need for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Every day, we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
The cell phone is the new transistor radio. Just like your grandfather may have carried his radio wherever he went, you carry your phone with you all the time. Which means you can listen to American Family Radio anytime you want with the AFR app. You'll find live talk programming, 24-hour Christian music, and access to podcasts of all your favorite AFR shows. Just go to the App Store and download the AFR app for free. Your grandfather would be proud.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. By the way, if you've not checked out our website recently, we'd love for you to do that. The wealth of content, articles, podcasts, and videos there to help you be a wise and faithful steward of God's money is incredible. You'll find it all at faithfi.com. You can visit that on your smartphone or on your desktop. Again, faithfi.com. Just click the content button. Also, while you're there, check out the FaithFi app that can help you manage God's money and access all of this great content on the go. Just click the app tabs. Again, it's all at faithfi.com. Before the break, we were talking to Tracy in Chicago. She and her husband have a couple $100,000 in liquid funds beyond their retirement savings in a deferred comp, and in addition to their emergency savings. They're wondering about getting it invested. We talked about perhaps trying to get more into the deferred comp by increasing or maxing out her husband's deferred comp contributions, even if that meant they had to start pulling from the $200,000 to supplement their income, thereby kind of shifting it from a taxable environment to a tax deferred. We've also talked about them funding two Roth IRAs. By the way, Tracy, you can fund 2024. If you guys are over 50, you could put in $8,000 apiece, so $16,000 for 2024, and then turn around and do another $8,000 apiece for 2025. So you could put a total of $32,000 in, you know, all at once, as long as you do that before you file your 2024 return. So that could get a lot of that working for you in a retirement environment. Now, in terms of the investments, you mentioned the S&P 500 had been recommended to you. And although that can be a great base for your investments, kind of a starting point, a sound strategy for long-term growth, you might not want to concentrate your entire portfolio there for a few reasons. One is there's just a lack of diversification across what are called asset classes. So you would be largely in large cap U.S. stocks, which is a broad slice of the U.S. market, but it includes or excludes small cap stocks, international stocks. It also excludes bonds, which can be a great, more stable portion of the portfolio. It's overly exposed to the U.S. markets, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It just means you're less diversified. It's also got sector concentration risk. What does that mean? Well, the S&P 500 is market cap weighted, so it means larger companies are dominate the index. Well, those are heavily technology oriented, like Apple and Microsoft and Amazon. And so if tech takes a downturn, well, your portfolio could take a significant hit. You also don't have any downside protection or income. There's, you know, limited income with the S&P 500 because it's primarily focused on growth companies. So I say all that to say, I think you need a broader mix of investments, especially given your proximity to retirement. So where do you go from here? Well, I can offer three options. One would be what's called a robo-advisor. So you could use something like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, where it would use indexes, but it would use a lot of the indexes. So you'd get a bond index and a small cap index and a mid cap index and international and domestic. And it would build it for you. It's very low cost. And that could be kind of a do-it-yourself approach, but where you're more broadly diversified. A second approach, which is kind of a middle of the road between a full hands-on advisor and a do-it-yourself robo, would be Sound Mind Investing, where they would give you a strategy to follow in the Sound Mind Investing newsletter or at soundmindinvesting.com. And then you would just follow their recommendations and make the changes yourself, but you'd have somebody kind of guiding the way, even though you're the one, you know, making the buy and sell decisions. And then the third option would be to hire a certified Kingdom advisor. You'd probably pay somewhere around 1.25%. So it's not inexpensive, but in my view, it's worth it just because this is a lot of money. You've spent a lot of time amassing this wealth and you just don't want to put it on autopilot. And so I think for that reason, you know, it could be worth paying a couple of thousand dollars a year for somebody to oversee this and manage it. And the goal would be that they would make, you know, add more value in terms of their management than you're paying them in fees. And so you come out ahead in the long run. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Yes, thank you so very much. I think those are all great and valuable ideas and okay. options. And we'll Good. Definitely take your advice and look into everything you mentioned.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So the three that I mentioned, just to recap, after you open the Roth and try to bump up the deferred comp, is the, if you want the robo solution, I'd look at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. If you want the middle of the road, soundmindinvesting.org. And then if you want an advisor, just go to faithfi.com, click find a professional, and you can find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area. Lord bless you, Tracy. Orza is in Miami. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have about $90,000 saved in savings for everything, meaning home, investments, and possible my child's college. However, I wanted to know what I can do in order to invest and make this money grow into more. I live in Miami, so the housing market here is a little bit, it's pretty crazy, but I've been renting and I have been wanting to buy a home, but I'm wondering, is right now the time to buy a home? I have zero debt and I really have no assets, but I also have this $90,000 that I have saved and I want it to work for me.
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. And, you know, this is really starts with a priorities and a values conversation, looking at your values as a Christ follower and thinking about just kind of, you know, what God has entrusted to you, where he's leading you, and then what decisions and priorities need to come out of that. You've mentioned some great things. You mentioned possibility of being a homeowner. You've mentioned, you know, putting your daughter through college. You've mentioned investing. All of those are good things. We just need to have kind of a priority order to them. And we're not going to be able to fully vet that here in just a couple of minutes on the radio, but we can get you started. You know, I think a good starting point would be to say, okay, we want 3 to 6 months expenses in savings. Would that be included in this $90,000, or do you have any emergency savings separate?
I have a small emergency savings separate.
Okay. How many months worth of expenses would that equal?
About 2 to 3.
Okay, great. So let's say that's funded. You could add a little more to it, but let's say it is. The next question is then perhaps, are we ready to buy a home? If you were to buy the home that would meet your needs, nothing extravagant, but would be something that would be suitable for you, about how much would you be looking to spend? Have you done any research on that?
In Miami, it's so difficult, but my monthly would have to be $2,700. Which is what I'm comfortable with. I've qualified for more, but I don't want to go above 2,700 because of the size and savings.
Okay.
And then I would have to find a home that's around 350 right now with the market that we're in right here in Miami with interest rates and stuff.
Yeah, sure. And I'm glad you've done that work. And I think that's important because here's what you just described to me. And this is so key, is you're starting with your budget. You're not starting with the neighborhood. You're not talking about the number of bedrooms you want and the features you want. You're saying, I know what I can spend and I don't want to go above that. And therefore, here's how much I can borrow. And that's exactly the place you want to be. Now, is that a $350,000 mortgage or is that a $350,000 home? And then you'd put something down?
Mortgage.
Okay, that's the mortgage. Okay, great. Now, typically, I would say for a $350,000 mortgage, we would want to have probably at least 20% down. So that's going to be, $70,000 on a $350,000 home, which would take the lion's share of this and leave you only $20,000 for other things. So that's possible, and it sounds like that could be doable, assuming you can find that home, but it doesn't leave you anything for college. So let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and see if we can kind of land this plane on where you go from here. We'll be right back.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We have not been made the greatest nation in the history of mankind by denigrating God. We have become the greatest nation on earth because we are a nation that acknowledged Almighty God to be the source of our values, our rights, our liberties, and that therefore we are accountable to Him.
The Awakening on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're going to dig a little deeper into the verse we started with, Matthew 6:24 and a few others. We cannot serve God and money. That generosity is a key piece of this as well. I think about what Ron Blue, the author, says often, and that is that giving actually loosens the grip that money can have over our lives.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before the break, we were talking to Orza in Miami. She's got about $90,000 in savings. She's debt-free. She's renting. She'd love to buy a home. She's also thinking about a college education for her daughter. And she's just wondering how to allocate these resources. She knows that real estate prices are high, but she's wondering, might this be the time to go ahead and move forward? Now, she also knows that she can afford to spend as much as $2,750 a month on her mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So when we put all of that together, as I was sharing before the break, or is that this really comes down to a priorities discussion, because money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And you've done a great job managing your financial life. You're debt-free. You've put away some savings. Now we've just got to figure out what is the right path forward. If you were to buy that home and you said you think you could afford to go up to $2,750 a month, I like for you to have 20% down because that's going to avoid the private mortgage insurance, which is about 1% of the mortgage value a year. And it doesn't do anything for you. So if you have less than 20% equity in the home, you would have that extra PMI expense. So let's say we were to try to do that. I'm coming up with a purchase price of around $400,000, which would mean to put 20% down, you'd have to take 80 of your $90,000 and put toward a down payment. And then at prevailing rates, call it 6.75, you know, you could come in under that $2,750 because the mortgage payment by itself would be about $2,200. And then you'd have property taxes and insurance, which I know are pretty expensive there in South Florida. So it'd probably pretty much be a wash. The challenge at that point, though, is that, you know, there's nothing left for college. So we'd really need to talk about that because you probably would want to take a minimum of five, maybe 10,000. And that's what would be left over in my example, just to shore up your emergency fund. Because once this is gone, you'd probably have a little more peace of mind to know that you had a full 6 months in reserves just for the unexpected. In terms of the timing on the purchase of the home, you know, I don't see houses getting any less expensive. I don't think we're in a bubble by any means like we were in 2007, 2008. We're seeing a slowing of the increase, but we're not seeing a downturn. You know, housing prices nationally are supposed to be up around 2.5 or 3% again this year. So although they're not rising in value as rapidly, they're not coming down. They're not getting any cheaper. Now, what will likely happen is interest rates will come down. Most economists forecast that mortgage rates will end the year probably around 6%, maybe slightly under. So could you get a year from now an interest rate that's 0.75 points better than today? You might, and that would help to make it more affordable. But I don't know that this is a bad time to buy as long as you don't buy too much house. I think the biggest question and reason why you may not want to go ahead with the scenario I just painted about the purchasing the home is just that you wouldn't have anything left for college. So if you did that, what would be your alternative there? Would your daughter have to borrow, or what other ideas do you have?
Be aggressive with my savings again, and just try to save some more money. She's 14 right now. So yeah. 20, like I said, the 2,700 is below my means. I'm at about 130 a year. Okay. So that is below my means, which is where I want to be comfortable in order to be able to save. So just being aggressive with my savings again and not eating out, you know, all of that stuff would be my backup plan.
I like the way you're thinking, and I think that's exactly right. So I think this comes down to, you know what, let's pray through it, ask the Lord for some wisdom. I don't think there's a wrong decision here. I love how you're being conservative. You've been thoughtful about what you can afford, what you can't afford. You're trying to think ahead, and, you know, you're 4 years out from a college education, and you're wanting to be, you know, mindful about how you put money aside. I think you would be happy to get into a home, and I think this is a good time to do it. Maybe one compromise would be to say, let's just really buckle down and try to save for 12 more months and then make the purchase, hopefully at a lower interest rate. But listen, if you find the right house with a purchase price of around $400,000 that meets your needs, keeps you, you know, living well within your means, below kind of, you know, what a mortgage company would say they would be willing to lend you, I would say go for it, because you can always refinance 2 or 3 years down the road if rates are, you know, a couple of points lower than they are today. And that would get you settled in this home. And then to your point, you could really buckle down and try to, you know, save as much as you can over the next 4 years.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question? Do we have time?
Yeah, go ahead.
So there was another option I was looking into, which is something that's popular in Miami. I'm not sure about anywhere else. There are two things. One of them is getting a hard money loan and using that hard money loan to buy a property well below the means and then refinancing it about 90 days later into a regular conventional loan in order to get yourself into the home like buying it from a wholesaler. That was one option I was looking into. So wanting your advice on that one. The second option is purchasing at my max amount of approval, which is 550, but then making sure that home has an ADU or an efficiency or a studio that I can rent out or Airbnb out in order to help offset my monthly and still have my savings. Both are very risky. Wondering if they're even worth it, or if I should just stick to my original plan.
Yeah, I appreciate your creativity. I think I would go with the original plan just because there's more that can go awry with that. I mean, I'm not opposed to you, you know, being a landlord. I would just want you to have a little stronger financial foundation under you. The concern I would have would be around us getting into a recession a couple of years down the road. You know, we're way overdue for one. And even though I like a lot of what President Trump's talking about with regard to the economy, you know, the economy at the end of the day is cyclical. And if we got into a recession and you had trouble, you know, renting that place out, and now you're stuck with a mortgage payment that it doesn't fit well within your budget, I'm just not comfortable with that. With the hard money loan, I mean, it's high interest, it's short term, there's high fees. I just think there's a lot of risk there. And so, you know, that's for real estate investors or those needing a quick short-term financing for projects with high upside potential. The problem is it just adds to the risk. And if the market turns against you or something doesn't work out the way you want, you could put yourself in real financial jeopardy. So I'd take the more sure and steady approach if it were me. I hope that helps. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Ruth. How can I help?
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for letting me call.
Absolutely.
My question has to do with a retirement check that I got from the State University Retirement System.
Yes.
And they took out tax. But I heard you talking about being able to donate money and then not have the tax taken out.
Yeah.
So I called up the State University people, and they said if I donate before the 17th of this month, then it won't be taxable. So if I send the reduced check that I got, will the State University system give that to the organization I send it to? Will they give the $500 that they took out in tax?
Yeah, you know, you're probably going to want to call them back and just talk this through. What I suspect happened is they withheld that money automatically and went ahead and sent that to the IRS on your behalf. And so the only way you would get that back is by filing your return, being able to report the amount that you withdrew and then donated as a charitable contribution, thereby reducing your tax liability, and therefore that amount they withheld and paid into the government for you is no longer due, and then you'd get it back as a refund. You know, the only way to make a qualified charitable distribution straight from your retirement account to a charity without it being considered as a withdrawal, which is taxable to you, is from an IRA. And this is not an IRA, correct? This is with the...
It's a State University Retirement System.
Yeah, yeah. So what would normally happen is after you separate from service, you would roll it out if you have that option to an individual retirement account. And then as long as you're 70 and a half, you could then make a contribution called a qualified charitable distribution straight from your IRA to a charity of your choice or your church. That is not a taxable event, and therefore it gets the money out of the account without you ever recognizing it as income. The problem is that when you took the withdrawal from the state retirement from a tax-deferred account, it is a taxable distribution, and therefore they just automatically withheld an estimated amount and send that on to the IRS on your behalf. So unless I'm missing something here, I don't think there's any way you're going to avoid that. That money probably is already with the IRS under your Social Security number, and it's only going to come back to you when you file your tax return, so long as you don't owe anything.
Okay, but I haven't been working, so I have not been filing. I've just been receiving Social Security. So I was told by the State University Retirement System when I called that if I donated the money before the 17th, because they dated the check 12/17, that if I donated before January 17th, that money would be given to the organization that what they have withheld.
Hmm. So they're saying they are holding on to that amount that was withheld? They didn't send it to the IRS?
I don't know. She just said I have to donate it before the 17th
of
this month.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wouldn't want to say definitively one way or the other. They would know better than I would. So I would just call that back and confirm that and maybe get somebody else on the phone and tell them what you understood you heard from the previous representative. But typically the way that happens is when you take a withdrawal from a retirement account, the amount they withhold is sent on to the IRS on your behalf. And the only way to get that back is through a tax refund. Now, if they're holding that and do so for a 30-day period and you have the ability to contribute, I just don't know how they could make a contribution on your behalf. So I think you need to get some more information here. We appreciate your call today.
Boy, what a great program today. So appreciate your questions and your calls. Thanks for being along with us today. I hope we've encouraged you in your role as being a faithful steward and managing God's money. I couldn't do this without my team, Sandy Dickinson, Jim Henry, Taylor Stanrich, and Devin Patrick. Everybody here at FaithFi, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.